Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This guy is a machine. All he does is work out and pick winners.
Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski.
Oregon's down by 12. They're on the 45-yard line with no timeouts.
Oregon's got an all-American field goal kicker.
Why didn't somebody tell me?
Chicago Sports Betting Show.
Touchdown, Ohio State. There are some folks who are celebrating and others who are saying, you've got to be kidding.
You kind of know what I'm thinking about.
Over or under?
Under would be the key word.
Hello? Bet with an edge.
He'd find out the kind of inside stuff nobody else knew, and that's what he'd put his money on. He even figured out the different bounce you got off the different kinds of wood they used on college basketball courts, you know?
Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski.
A friend of mine is very smart, said I've been very lucky with gambling. I've never won.
Saturday mornings on 670 The Score and the Radio.com app.
Happy Saturday. It's a beautiful thing when you realize, you know, we're going to have to keep this thing moving if we want to dig into the Stanley Cup playoffs in golf with Jeff Fotler, Major League Baseball, Illinois sports betting problems, horse racing. But let's not keep our outstanding guest waiting because the NBA postseason is on deck. And we're almost there, just a couple of days away from the start of the NBA playoffs. We almost have the entire field set, just one more that we're waiting on. And we bring into the show from Daily Wager on ESPN. His name is Preston Johnson, at Sports Cheetah on Twitter. Make sure you're following him there because he is an NBA savant. And Preston, after watching the last couple of weeks, you know, even with Major League Baseball, with a few weeks, and we have one team that's only played about five games so far. But at least with the NBA, I finally do believe that, okay, I'm not shying away from futures anymore if you want to jump in right now, because I think we're definitely going to have a champion.
I don't even think you need to be cautious anymore. The NBA's just done such a good job. I mean, they had the opportunity to set up this bubble, and then, you know, what's it, 3 weeks straight now of zero people testing positive out of 350 or 60. They're in good shape. I think as long as people are following the rules, they're going to get it done. We will have a title. We will have a champion. And it's great to be excited just because I thought the level of play that we saw, I know people are going to say, oh, this is a weird season. They want to put an asterisk on it. Like, okay, if you want to, that's fine. But we saw a really high level of play from whether it be Portland, Phoenix, San Antonio, Memphis, those teams competing for a playoff spot. And then some of the others early on before there was more rest these last few days to, you know, as the season was winding down. We get some of that now in a playoff format in these series head-to-head. It's going to be fantastic, so I'm excited, and yeah, it's good to have sports back.
I want to go over all of these series with you in just a moment, and maybe there's a possibility if people do want to get involved with other futures bets moving forward. But first, let's talk about this mini regular season we just witnessed, and we saw the books trying to adjust. There was a lot of crazy over the total action very early on. It was just nonstop. And it feels like everyone's happy too, not just as fans, but also sports bettors. Well, you're trying to figure out over the last week or so who's playing. And then the odds makers we speak with, we know they're relieved, like, okay, let's just get to the playoffs. We don't have to deal with any of this anymore. But are there any takeaways that you bring from this mini regular season into the playoffs? And if there are no takeaways, if your numbers haven't adjusted at all, or you're not changing your thinking going into this postseason at all, that's a fair answer too.
There needs to be takeaways, because as much as you don't want to really put a ton of stock into a small sample of, say, eight games, and for some of the teams, right, resting guys, maybe it was five or six meaningful games, but like the Lakers, for example, and they're the one, and I'm obviously, I'm a Lakers fan, so I'm generally biased to rooting for them, but I'm like especially worried just because they lose Avery Bradley, they lose Rajon Rondo, and while those aren't names that you can really say like, oh, they're going to be counting on them in the playoffs, who's going to be defending, for example, if it's the Blazers coming up here in this first round? You know, Dame Lillard, CJ McCollum, because LeBron's playing the point guard. They weren't really able to figure it out. I love Alex Caruso. I'll live and die for that guy. But come on, title contending Lakers counting on 30 to 40 minutes of Alex Caruso or KCP playing as a bigger guard trying to keep up with Dame and CJ. I just don't see it happening. I was very worried in that, you know, my numbers went from the Lakers being a slight dog to the Clippers to that gap widening quite a bit over the course of these eight games. So I think because I'm taking in the data from those eight games, and the data specifically says the Lakers had the worst offensive efficiency in the entire bubble. They were 21st out of 22 teams in their net efficiency. They were the second worst team in the bubble. And LeBron and AD weren't resting a ton of games either. They were trying, I know they were messing with lineups and they say they can flip a switch, but I was concerned about them. I'm slightly concerned about Milwaukee, who similarly struggled and lost, you know, a few games. And they were also resting guys here and there and kind of shuffling who was going to take certain games off. But they didn't, you know, come out just pouncing like they were kind of playing to the degree they were playing in February, March, post All-Star break. And on top of it, they're in a bubble without home court, where teams like the Lakers, the Bucks, those one seeds that would have had home court through the NBA Finals no longer have that, right? Teams like the Bucks, who were just resting guys even during the long regular season, we'll call it the first regular season, right? Giannis only averaged 30.9 minutes played per game. Bud just does a great job of managing the load when you're blowing teams out so frequently, then you don't have to play them very often anyway. Well, then now everyone just got 4.5 months of rest coming into this restart. So I actually think it's those teams, kind of the heavier favorites, the ones that stood to benefit from home court after seeing the eight games in a neutral that just didn't really perform to expectation. I'd be a little concerned there. I think that's the biggest takeaway, is that, and we like to talk about it, it's like, hey, maybe it's more open than ever. And look, they still deserve to be the favorites, Clippers, Lakers, Bucks. But again, wouldn't be surprised if there's a team that ends up shocking one of them in a series.
West is so fascinating. Unfortunately, the East, not as exciting. But let's start with the West. And we have a play-in game, which is pretty cool. It may last one day instead of two, but it's still a fresh idea, something new, something I think all NBA fans are all in on. And we have Portland as a 6-point favorite today against Memphis. The Grizzlies need to win back-to-back games if they want to get that 8 seed to face the Lakers. A total of 232.5 for this afternoon. Do you have any interest in this game?
So I did play Memphis. I woke up and played plus 6.5. So, okay, Thursday night there was the Nets game, like Dame's going nuts. But defensively, that entire second half, because I think they had a six-point lead at halftime. And it might have even gone to double digits about mid-third quarter. But something happened where Portland's defense, and they haven't been very good defensively anyways. You know, they start Carmelo Anthony. They have two smaller guards anyway. They have Herzogna and Gary Trent Jr. coming in off the bench. When Trevor Ariza opted out, didn't want to play in the bubble, I think that really hurt their chances of making a legitimate run, most likely. But getting back to this game now, I'm not sure if it was kind of carried over as far as them just being a little worn down, because they had to beat Dallas the game before that. Dame drops 61. He dropped 50-something the game before that. He ends up scoring 41, and they win this game by 1 point. But defensively, they just looked so beat up, and it's like finally kind of getting to them, because you don't play real basketball for 4+ months. You had those little scrimmages. You've practiced a little. But then you have to play, and for Portland, more than anyone, an 8-game set where every game was like a playoff game. Really, like if they had lost one of the, you know, one of those, I think they ended up 7-1, right? They blew that game to the Clippers, like C unit in the fourth quarter. So if they had lost any other game, they're not in. Even that Thursday night game, it's the Suns instead. So they basically played 8 playoff games. Now they have another one that's a legitimate play-in playoff game to get the 8 spot to then play the Lakers. They're pretty worn down. I have the number lower anyways, even without Jaren Jackson Jr. for Memphis. The season data says Memphis shouldn't be a 6.5-point dog. So I like Memphis at those numbers. I think ultimately it's going to be hard for them to beat Portland outright twice. I think we're going to see Blazers-Lakers. But in this first game, I do like the side of Memphis getting the points.
This is Early Odds on Sports Radio 670. The Score, I'm Joe Ostrowski with from ESPN's Daily Wager. His name is Preston Johnson, previewing the NBA playoffs. Now let's go to your Lakers. They're going to be the one. And the Westgate Superbook put out odds, assuming that it is the Blazers at the 8. They posted the Lakers at minus 550 and the Blazers as the dog at plus 425. Do you agree with that number?
So this one's really intriguing. So, okay, so everyone's going to be slurping up Portland because of this massive run they've been on. Dame Lillard, assuming they beat Memphis, just been going nuts. And the typical sports better, sharp, contrarian take will be, hey, the Lakers haven't looked very good. Uh-huh. The Blazers were fire. They like are coming in with all of this steam. They're going to be overvalued. I'm going to actually bet the Lakers in some form or fashion. So whether it be laying minus 500 series or there's actually props that'll be posted or have already gone up a few places where you can lay like -2.5 games won, right? Like the Lakers are going to win 4-0 or 4-1. Or you can find a -1.5 if you think and lay more juice for that. There are a ton of options. There's a ton of derivatives. And everyone's going to be saying, hey, buy low on the Lakers. I can't do it. I told you, I've already a little bit worried about the Lakers. Again, maybe I'm like this reverse bias where I'm concerned because they're the team I root for. But Portland matches up so well with them to the degree that, again, I talked about it. Who's going to be defending Lillard and McCollum? Those are the two guards that just the Lakers, they're Bradley is their best on-ball defender of that size with that speed, that quickness. Danny Green can't stay in front of small guards. He's never been able to, not to mention he's actually struggling to stay in front of wings these days. He's just kind of fallen off and dropped off the last year and a half. KCP, I don't see it. You're not going to have LeBron on the guards. You're going to need him on bigger players, especially when you're going small and putting Anthony Davis at the five, which then brings up the point of Anthony Davis, who's unstoppable against some teams. You generally can't slow him down either way. But if there was a team in the West that maybe has a shot with two big bodies, it's Nurkic, who's looked fantastic in the restart, by the way. He was a top 15 guy in, like, you know, player impact plus minus, his net rating before his injury. Had a really bad injury, what, it's like a season and a half ago now. He's been elite. And then you have Whiteside now backing him up. It's just a big body you can throw at AD and make him uncomfortable. The real advantage then is LeBron versus, again, no Trevor Ariza now. These wings that just can't defend. And can LeBron take it to another level? I just think Dame alone can get them a game. I think defensively, Portland and the struggles the Lakers have had offensively in the bubble, I think there's a second game to be had. I don't know if Portland, I'll say my true line, meaning my projection, I have the Lakers winning about 4 out of 5 times or about minus 400. So plus 425, maybe it's a slight edge, slight advantage. It's worth betting. I'm going to be hoping that I can get like a +2.5 games won on the Portland side, right? So they can either win one or two games. And I think I'm in good shape, two or more games. And I'm in good shape there. So I'm looking at that. I'm going to go Portland, even if it seems like the square public side after what we just saw. I think most people will be on the Lakers, but I'm Blazers.
One thing we do know is this is probably going to be the most bet series price of all eight of them that we're going to see in the postseason. You mentioned you like the Clippers more than the Lakers right now, and the Clippers posted at minus 500 and then the Mavs plus 400. I'm assuming you like the Clippers a lot more in this series than the Lakers.
So, yeah, I have more confidence in the Clippers actually winning the series. It's actually probably similar. Now that I'm looking at my chart, it's about 4 out of 5 times. So it's a little bit higher, but I have more confidence in the Clippers as a whole. And I'll say just so going into the restart, I had the Clippers winning the championship 27.1% of the time. And now they're over 30%. And so it doesn't seem like a lot, but the really reason is, and they haven't even been playing Harrell, right? Lou Williams missed some games. They rested Kawhi and, you know, Paul George a few times. They're resting again. You know, they rested Friday and they're a team that I think just can switch everything and has such versatility as a whole, just from a sheer X's and O's basketball standpoint. But when you look at just the Lakers numbers for those 8 games, when you have the worst offense in the entire bubble, you know, my numbers are kind of like slowly bringing in the most recent data. They're weighing them into the, you know, entire enchilada, so to speak. And look, the Clippers now are quite a bit more of a favorite over the Lakers, in my opinion. So I like them. And what's really interesting about just looking at those two teams as a whole, based on, I think, where a lot of the odds makers and the liability was with books prior to the season, through the season, the Clippers are like plus 300, plus 325 still to win it all. The Lakers are plus 200, maybe plus 225. And especially in Las Vegas, it's sometimes even lower. So you're getting the better team, in my opinion, slightly. I think they're still pretty close, but the Clippers, the edge or the gap is widening. And you're getting such a better price on them. You're getting over 3-1 versus 2-1. So for me, it's an obvious decision here is, if you're going to make a bet on one of them, Clippers are the better bet just because you're getting paid such a better price. And I think they are the slightly better team.
Preston, the other two series in the West, your 3-6 is Utah and Denver. The 4-5 matchup is OKC and Houston. The Rockets minus 175. The Nuggets minus 210. Do you see value in either underdog with the Jazz and Thunder here?
Definitely not on the Jazz side. I will say I already have bet the Nuggets minus 177 through minus 195. To win the series, it's been kind of slowly moving up. But that's one that I think I had – I can check it actually right now. It's not a big deal. I'll just pull it up. I had the true price for that series being like minus 246, somewhere just over 71% of the time that Denver wins. So when I was getting minus 177, you know, even the minus 200, 210s that are there, still I think worthwhile edge there. I just think when it's all said and done, Utah's without Bogdanovich, they've looked – they're just – they have no depth anyways, and now you take him out of the picture, and they basically have six guys that are playoff-worthy players, and Jordan Clarkson off the bench only counts about half the time because half the time he just can't hit a shot. The other half of times he's good, but it's tough. It's going to be tough for Utah to beat a team like Denver that is playing, you know, their B and C units a lot of the restart and beating teams anyway. So MPJ and his emergence as a potential, like, leading offensive candidate scorer for the Nuggets is really promising. So I like the Denver side, definitely not the Jazz. The Thunder one is more intriguing. Now, the first to market yesterday on this just completely botched the price. It was plus 320, moved down to plus 290 overnight. Now today, everyone's opening it up, I mean, plus 155 through 175 or so. Wow. I'm not sure what the deal was yesterday with the first couple books. Yeah. I wish I'd gotten a piece. I don't live on the East Coast. I didn't get a piece of any Thunder. I wish I had. Probably not worth betting now. But the reason I think the drop-off or the mistake, if you want to call it that, is yesterday it came out that Russell Westbrook's going to miss at least one game, probably more. I think the way they phrased it, it was like two or more games to start the first round. And I'm not necessarily sure that this matchup is good for Houston anyways, right? So you take away Russell Westbrook, who can do some things on the court that nobody else can. You're just not going to be as good as the team. I know the on-off numbers, the metrics actually say the Rockets are sometimes better with Russ. When it's all said and done, you want Russ on the court if you're the Rockets. They molded their team into going small, playing PJ Tucker at the five, Robert Covington at the five, around Russ kind of being, because if you look at their numbers, right, you know, those last 2 months before the shutdown, he was phenomenal. He was elite, some of the most efficient Russell Westbrook we've ever seen. So they want him on the court. The Thunder, what they do so well is now they have guys like Chris Paul, for one of the best on ball, just, you know, guys one-on-one against James Harden, who's going to be having the ball now in his hands almost the entirety of the game for the Rockets, either getting doubled, driving and kicking, or just playing ISO, trying to step back, trying to draw fouls. Chris Paul's great against that. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, also very long guard that can defend Harden. They even have Roberson now, who's been playing some in the restart, who's just been injured for a few seasons, who's kind of an all-defensive guy that they could throw at Harden for times if they wanted to. They have Steven Adams helping on pick and roll screens if there's any of those coming in, and just, you know, kind of helping around the hoop for rim protection. And then you look at the Rockets, what they do, you know, they maximized going small. They shoot so many threes, 50 plus threes a game. Well, guess who's like second best in the NBA right now? I think they're tied with Boston for opponent 3-point percentages, the Oklahoma City Thunder. Toronto's number one by a few decimal, tenths of a percent. And seeing kind of how this has merged, really the opponent, the matchup doesn't favor Houston. So to get plus 320 was kind of crazy. This should be more like, because even game one, look at like Houston's minus one. It's basically a pick'em game. Now, does Russ come back in game three, game four? It's obviously up in the air. None of us know the answer to that. But I definitely think the Thunder have a real shot, especially if they're able to steal these first one or two before Russ comes back. Then you're in great shape. I'm just not sure I would bet it now. Just I think the price is a lot closer to fair. If you still have some books that are slow to move and it's in the 200s, though, definitely worth grabbing. I think those were great bets.
With ESPN's Preston Johnson, Joe Ostrowski, early odds, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Over in the Eastern Conference in this first round, Preston, you have Milwaukee, Orlando, the 2-7 matchup, Toronto, Brooklyn, 3-6, Boston, the 3, Philadelphia, the 6, and your 4-5 is Miami and Indiana. Which first round matchup in the East is most intriguing to you?
It should have been Celtics 76ers, and I still think Philly, they had the personnel to try to figure something out. But with Ben Simmons being out now, it kind of throws a wrench in that. I think the Celtics take care of business. I'm not too concerned if you're a Boston fan or if you have Boston futures in your back pocket. I think the Sixers. They came in playing atrocious defense, but their offense was better, moving Al Horford to the bench unit, moving Ben Simmons to power forward, starting Shake Milton at point guard. But defensively, they were a lot worse. Now they don't even have Ben Simmons. It's going to be tough to beat and outsmart Brad Stevens and a Celtics team that I think is just a better team anyways, even if Ben Simmons was healthy. So I think they were kind of neck and neck, and now you take away Simmons and that's where they're at. So it would have been that one. So I guess now we're left with Heat Pacers, just because I don't think when it's all said and done, the Magic or Nets are going to do much. Although credit to the Nets and Jacques Vaughn, he takes over and they win five games in the bubble, almost six, the Thursday night game against Portland, which would have kept Portland out of the playoff altogether. That was fascinating. LeVert, Caris LeVert's fantastic. And maybe they can steal a game from Toronto. Maybe, but I'd be shocked if they ended up getting more than one. And yeah, the Bucks should just win 4-0. Again, if they're struggling, kind of playing like they did in the restart, some Magic's offense has been better. Although Fournier and Gordon have missed a few games recently. There's a lot of question marks, but again, no upsets there. So it leaves Heat Pacers. And I'll be honest, I think the Heat are the better team. I'm probably going to end up backing them to some degree. And it's not, I'm not a Pacers hater. I actually love that they kind of just grind you down and they're the like unsexy team that just wins games. And what I think hurt their potential pricing and the reason, like, you can get Heat in the minus 200 still. And I think it should be in the 300. So if you're able to find Heat in that range, even the opener, I think was like minus 204 or something yesterday. It was just like super cheap. TJ Warren is just this god for a few games, like just best player in the bubble through the first half of it at least. And he played at a level just, it's not, you can't duplicate it. All right. Now he's going up against a guy who, by the way, Jimmy Butler, pretty good, probably the best player on the floor, at least, historically based on the guys that are playing. Career low field goal percentage against any opponent for TJ Warren. It's Jimmy Butler, and it's by like 5% worse than anyone else. It's like 33% field goal percentage. Like, he's just going to drop off. It's not going to be TJ Warren 7-for-10 from three. So if he's dropping off, he's coming back to earth. Maybe he has gotten better. He'll probably shoot better than 33% against the Heat. But you take away Sabonis, who was their most impactful guy anyways, with the foot injury. He hasn't even been playing in the bubble. I'm just not sure Indiana has enough. And I think that they were a little overvalued because of this TJ Warren run and the fact that they've been winning games. Miami's just more complete. They also kind of are – like, they're going to outmath Indiana too. Sometimes it just comes down to that when you're in a playoff series and you're, trading punches and blows and you're going 1-1, 2-1, 2-2. They shoot a lot more threes. Indiana, I think, they shoot like the 29th fewest threes. The Heat love to check. They have, I think, the best shooter in the league right now is Duncan Robinson. They have him. Yeah, they have Olynyk, who's been playing great minutes as like the stretch five. Bam Adebayo obviously made a huge leap this season. And then again, they have the best player, most reliable player in crunch time, I think, in the series. That's Jimmy Butler. So I like the Heat. If you can find prices in the minus 200 still, it should be, I think my true price was like minus 360-ish. So yeah, I got it in front of me. Minus 357, true line. Yeah, so like minus 200 still, if you can find it on the Heat. I think that's actually cheap. I think they take care of business.
Preston, let's wrap with what many Bulls fans are looking at as positive news. They wake up yesterday on Friday, and then there's just a sigh of relief going on throughout the city because there was some concern that they were going to bring back Jim Boylan, pandemic, worried about money, but Jim Boylan is fired. If Arturis Karnišovas, Mark Eversley give you a ring, and hopefully John Paxson is not on the call, what advice would you give them in hiring the new head coach in the new regime?
And so I love basketball because I'm a fan, and then I'm also betting on it. So it's important to me. And I wish I knew more about the details of everything that happened. It sounds like everyone's on board with this firing though. So I'm glad it happened for everyone's sake over there in Chicago. What I have seen a lot of is people asking, well, why aren't, Jason Kidd or Mark Jackson on the list? And you've seen names from, Woj, my colleague over at ESPN, tweeted about Kenny Atkinson, I think Adrian Griffin, Darvin Ham, the Bucks assistant. Like, these are names that I think would fit much better than trying to get some old school guy with a big name to come into Chicago and change everything around and turn everything around. You want guys that have been around offensive philosophies and scheme that have actually been performing well in the NBA in the year 2020 or 2019. I thought Atkinson kind of got a bad deal of cards there with the whole Brooklyn situation. And he did great. He did great things with them, even dating back to last year when they made that playoff run. I saw a tweet earlier today, talking just about those two, just to kind of put it into context for people, the Jason Kidd and Mark Jackson thing. And there's other names of guys that are more veteran coaches, maybe more pedigree in that regard. But I don't think that's what Chicago wants. Look, Mark Jackson in 2013, 2014 with the Warriors, they were 51-31. They lost in the first round. They ran slow, floppy action sets, the motion as far as the actual scheming of the offense, was really elementary. Steve Kerr takes over the following year. They're running five out motion, elite movement. They win 67 games and they win the NBA championship. Okay. Jason Kidd, the Bucks. This is 2018. They were 23-22. He was fired. Giannis was at the elbow every possession. You were playing him like a big man. Mike Budenholzer takes over. The following season, they go 60-22. Giannis wins the MVP. They go to the conference finals. They're running five out motion. Like, you want someone from one of these schemes. You don't want Jason Kidd or Mark Jackson or the old school guy. The Bulls need to adapt to analytics, the future where basketball is headed, that path. And I think some of these younger names, even though they're not sexy, they're no one most people have even heard of, I think that's going to be your best option. Hopefully you land one that fits.
Couldn't have said it any better. He's Preston Johnson from ESPN's Daily Wager. Follow him on Twitter, @SportsCheetah. Preston, enjoy the playoffs, and I'm pretty sure it'll be a profitable one for you.
I hope so. Thanks, Joe.
We'll flip to hockey and horse racing later this hour. Next, I'll share my thoughts on all these scheduled Cubs and Sox games, plus the latest issue with Illinois sports betting. Thank you for listening to Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski on 670 The Score and the Radio.com app.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski. You've got Sports Radio 670 The Score. The White Sox not in action last night, so back-to-back off days. They're going to have that doubleheader today against the St. Louis Cardinals. More on that in just a moment. Cubs losers, Yelich with the three-run homer. A lot of questions to David Ross about Fegley facing Hader late in the game. The offense failed to come through in the clutch a couple of times with the bases juice. And coming off the long winning streak, now we're looking ahead a little bit. Cubs have seven games scheduled over the next 5 days. Seven games because you have doubleheaders scheduled for Monday and Wednesday. We've got game three today. Today. It was supposed to be at night, just like almost every other game. But the weather, it doesn't look like it's going to participate, so they moved this game up. They also moved the Sox doubleheaders up as well. But this was supposed to be under the lights. They're going to play it at 2:20 this afternoon. A 1:20 pregame right here on the Score, 2:20 first pitch. No fans, so if you see some possible issues with weather, it's much easier to move things around. Now, they had it to be determined, but David Ross confirmed last night that Colin Rea was going to be the starter. It all got messed up because Chatwood wasn't able to go yesterday. They moved up Alec Mills, did a nice job except for that mistake to Yelich, and then they're forced to use Rea. Now, he's had a couple of relief appearances, but we're looking at pitch counts of 18 and 33. This is going to be his first start since 2016. He went on Tuesday for two innings, that 33-pitch outing, and now he's coming off 3 days rest. So the way I approach this game is you're going to have to lean on this Cubs bullpen, and that's not in a position you want to be. It's not as bad as very early in the season. That first week, thanks to the Phillies, they're not completely the worst in all of baseball, but it's not like you can really depend on them so much. Haven't had to pitch a ton. They finally crossed that 50-inning threshold last night because the starting pitching has just been so stellar. Adrian Hauser set to go for Milwaukee against the Cubs. He's pitched seven times, just two starts, a 4.86 career ERA, a 1.32 whip. This will be his fourth start of the season. Nice start, 2.65 ERA. Council's not going to hesitate to make a move. Hauser is a ground ball pitcher. He's failed to hit the 80-pitch mark in two of his three outings, so Hauser might be short for this game as well. Heading into it, it's got to be Brewers or nothing. I know that the Cubs are going to need a lot from their bullpen, so I'm going to be looking at the Brewers or just walking away. Over on the south side, the Cardinals will be playing their sixth game of the year. Yeah, their sixth game of the year after they drove in 41 cars in from St. Louis to the south side of Chicago. White Sox trying to stay above 500. Game one of two will feature Lucas Giolito against Adam Wainwright. Remember, These games only 7 innings in length, and game 2, all Rick Renteria would say, it's going to be a bullpen game. No specifics there. We still don't know when Carlos Rodon and Reynaldo Lopez are going to return. Now, the good news for game 2 and the White Sox is they're going to have a rested bullpen after back-to-back off days. You would think in game 1, this sounds silly at this point in the season, but you would think that they're looking at Lucas Giolito to go 6, if not all 7 innings in this one. And that really is what changes up the strategy this year with these 7-inning doubleheaders. Now, look, Giolito's gone 6-plus in 3 of his 4 starts this year. He's gone over 100 pitches in his last couple of outings. You have a rested bullpen, and it's going to be a bullpen game in game number 2. So as far as the handicapping of these games go, I think you have to look to the White Sox for both of these. In game 1, I mean, if you want to make a case for a Giolito strikeout prop going over, that makes sense to me. This Cardinals club hasn't picked up a bat for real in over 2 weeks, and now you're going against what I believe is one of the premier pitchers in the game. He's had 9 strikeouts each of his last 2 starts. He's going over 100 pitches already. Unless he's out there getting rocked, it wouldn't surprise me if Rick Renteria wants to do that for the 3rd straight start with Lucas Giolito. So if you want to look at maybe a rusty ball club, they strike out a bunch against Giolito, I could see that happening. Really can. Interested to see where the number is bet, how the some of the sharper people are going to approach this game with a team that hasn't seen the field in so long. I mean, this doesn't happen coming out of spring training. They have those games leading up to the regular season and maybe a day or two off. So this is not usually the case. I'm really curious to see where that Giolito prop number is and where they put these odds out for both games. Looking at it from the Sox perspective, with the Cardinals coming in ice cold, they spend the day driving yesterday. There's no reason they shouldn't win both games. Now, when I saw Renteria announce game 2 is going to be a bullpen game, okay, that makes all the sense in the world because they have a bunch of games coming up as well. And you have a couple of starters down and a rested pen. Sure. But is the approach going to be what it was this past Saturday? If you win game 1, any part of Renteria going to decide to kind of pass on the game? I mean, you could make a strong case that that's what we saw last weekend, last Saturday, when the Indians were here. So my expectation is the Sox got to win both of these games. And that's how you're looking at game 1, especially. And they're going to lean on Giolito. So that's why I'm taking a look at the strikeout prop going over in that one. Early odds with Joe Ostrowski, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Okay, here's the fun part of the show. Here's where I get all mad about the legalization of Illinois sports betting, even though I've been behind it for multiple years and been covering it for just as long. If you don't know what's happening, here's the gist. If you want to bet on the PGA Tour, you can't do it legally in the state of Illinois right now. That is inexcusable that we have it legalized finally. Actually, it was passed, the bill, 14, 15 months ago. We have 4 operating books. 2 have mobile now. And if you want to bet on the PGA Tour, you have to use an illegal offshore website or a bookie, or you have to cross the border over to Indiana, which, by the way, has been happening a lot over the last year. So much that Indiana has now taken over $1 billion with a B, $1 billion in bets since they've started. That includes pandemic for 3 months when there wasn't much to bet on at all. Why is it so difficult to copy and paste? You see the states that are doing it right. Why can't you just copy and paste it? No, but we're Illinois. We're different. We're different than anybody else. So we've got to make it more challenging. Unbelievable. I can't find the politicians that were out there taking victory laps a little over a year ago talking about this gaming bill. Can't find them. Where's the explanation? We have yet to see someone come out and say, here's the problem. Here's where we messed up. This is why you can't bet on golf and for a period some other sports in Illinois. Nobody is doing that. Illinois Gaming Board is pointing to a rule, but nobody is stepping up to the plate and taking any blame for what is happening. Unbelievable. Maybe it's because they're a little preoccupied. Take a look in the news. See what's happening. For instance, the chief sponsor on the Senate side was charged with income tax evasion the other day. Wore a wire for the FBI for the bribery investigation. Okay, par for the course in Illinois. I'm not breaking any news to you. That's a weekly story, right? It really is in this state. Maybe we'll have golf in a couple weeks. I have no idea because nobody is telling us why. There are people speculating. I'm speculating. Others that cover sports betting industry are speculating, but nobody is explaining what is happening. And then we get to the governor. While he's getting approval to go after businesses that don't enforce a mask order, and okay, I'm cool with that. Wear masks. I wear them all the time. But while he's doing that, he's tweeting, you don't cross the border of Illinois into Missouri. Don't do it. It's dangerous. Missouri is more open. You're going to threaten the economy of Illinois if you cross the border and come back. Oh, this is the same guy who decided to end his executive order that in the state of Illinois, if you're a sports bettor and you want to be above board in the state, you want to do it legally, and you'd like to use DraftKings, the second mobile sports book to open in Illinois. If you live in Chicago, you have to drive 5 hours to East St. Louis and go to the border of Illinois, Missouri, where he is telling you not to go, so you can register in person because he removed the remote registration just a couple of weeks ago. Some are estimating that by doing this, Governor Pritzker is costing the state of Illinois, a broke state, about $8 million in tax revenue per month. Well, that's consistency, isn't it? You guys warned me, and I'm going to keep saying it. Illinois will mess it up. Illinois will mess it up. Illinois is messing this up. Now that I let that out, there's a lot more of that at Joe0670 on Twitter. Sometimes I get very upset about it. Blackhawks and Stanley Cup with Jeff Votler. Horse racing with Jim Miller. That is next. Early odds with Joe Ostrowski. Sports Radio 670 The Score and the Radio.com app.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Early odds with Joe Ostrowski. Sports Radio 670 The Score. Thanks for hanging out this Saturday morning. We'll get to Saratoga and Woodbine in just a moment. But I want to check in with my guy, Jeff Votler. He's at Votz_DFS on Twitter. Find his work online, awesomeo.com. Got to check in on the Stanley Cup playoffs because one thing we do know about the Blackhawks, they may not appear to be in this series right now against Vegas, but at least we know that we're going to get two games over the next 2 days. How you doing, Jeff?
Good. How are you, Joe? Hanging in there, watching some Hawks hockey and trying to root for the best.
Yeah. We're just trying to get as much Hawks hockey as we can. But it isn't the worst thing in the world after going a few months without any sports, and now you're waking up in the morning and you've got games.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. You know, it's pretty much an all-day affair, and it starts early in the afternoon and goes all night. It's kind of nice for a hockey fan, you know.
All right, so the Hawks fans are listening. They're thinking, okay, Vegas is probably going to move on. They're minus 2,500 to win the series. We know what's happening. The implied probability there is over 96%. But how can I make money on this game tonight? How are you going to attack game three?
Game three, you know, looking back at the first two games, if you look at the first game, they tried to play the more defensive style and try to limit chances. But last game, they threw that out the window and they said, you know what? We're just going to go for scoring, you know, goals if we can. So their defense is going to lack and, you know, they're going to give up some goals, but they're going to score goals too because they have a ton of firepower. So I kind of like betting, you know, the periods for, you know, going with the overs and, you know, an over under of six is not easy to knock down when you're the Hawks.
Yeah, and I saw in the last game, obviously, if you include overtime, it did go over that total of six. The over 1.5 in the first period hit once again. Is that how you're going to look? The Blackhawks have had a long trend over the last couple of years going over the total in that first period.
Yeah, that first period usually is a good hammer for me. That I like playing that over. And, you know, honestly, the game-wise, the overs have been, you know, constant hits this whole year. It's been very good betting-wise.
You're big in the DFS world, very successful. I mean, your Twitter handle is Vots_DFS. Do you ever get involved with some of the shots on goal props or any other player props with hockey?
Yeah, I will sometimes. It depends on the matchups, but I will go over and I'll take a look at them. Now that we have more betting markets, it's getting better. So the market will only get better. And as long as more people, you know, give out the props, then I'm more than willing to take a stab at the ones that I can get the plus matchups in.
As far as this game with the Hawks and the Knights, any players jump out to you that you might have interest in?
I'm a big believer with anybody playing with Patrick Kane. So, I mean, if you can get alongside with him, you know, they'll double shift him at times. And Alex DeBrincat started out a little slow, but I think he's going to start coming on here.
All right, beautiful. We've got three other games. The Avs with a 2-0 series advantage over the Coyotes. This morning, we've got the Bruins and the Hurricanes going at it. That series is tied up at one after a pair of games. And the Lightning and Blue Jackets. Any of these games particular of interest with you or just the series overall?
It's been kind of interesting. You know, you got a lot of different series that, you know, Colorado always looks good. They're pretty much, you know, going to move on. But the Boston game, I think they've played pretty poor hockey since they've returned. And I think they're only catching their groove now, you know, with David Pastrnak missing a little time there. If he comes back, it only helps them. But I like Boston to win this game.
Boston, anything on the Lightnings and Blue Jackets?
Yeah, the Lightning and Blue Jackets is a very good game, too. That first game going to five overtimes, I mean, that's pretty insane. I've never seen anything like that, especially for playoff hockey. I mean, Hawks have done it a couple of times where going into second or third, but five is insane. They're going to be pretty licked. And I think, you know, Columbus, they play a very good knockdown defensive style, but they still have some offense, too. And, I mean, I wouldn't rule them out for an upset, you know, a 7-2.
And we were tweeting about this the other day. I just wanted to follow up. So how did they handle that with Daily Fantasy? They moved the one game off. So did people just get nothing in tournaments that had players in that Bruins game?
Yeah, you know, it looked pretty rough because I was a little upset about it, too, because nobody knew what was going on and nobody wanted to move the slate back. So they couldn't put the slate later in the day, so the calendar would have changed. So the rules said that if the game is postponed to the next day, that the scores won't count. So they're going to get zeros for all their scores. So it kind of worked out, you know, with the game going to five overtime. That game, if you didn't have exposure on that game, then you pretty much didn't have any chance at winning money anyway. So there was, you know, way too many points scored for that game. But they moved it to the next day, and DraftKings, they were a great company, and they said, you know what, we're going to make everybody whole. And if you made a losing day, they turned it back to an even day.
That's really what you have to do. That's what you have to do in that situation. I was thinking about it from the sports betting perspective that, okay, your bet would still stand. So your play in a tournament, I mean, I know it's a crazy circumstance, but you can't just remove a game. Nobody had any intel that that was going to happen.
Yeah, and I mean, especially when you only got four game slates, you know, where you got to pick at least from three teams. And the first game going to a five overtime, you know, the amount of points that was scored compared to, you know, taking a game off, and now you're playing guys against your own goalie, which is, you know, definitely, minus EV to say the least.
Joe Ostrowski, early on Sports Radio 670, The Score. My guest, Jeff Fotler. He's on Twitter at Vots_DFS, talking about the Stanley Cup playoffs, obviously. Sunday night, Hawks and Knights, once again for Game 4. We're sitting here without knowing what happens in Game 3. But what's your gut? Do you think they're going to extend the season past the weekend?
Yeah, I think so. They're going to take one. I mean, I would imagine, you know, it's they have to come out and fire. And if this game was at the Madhouse at Madison, I wouldn't have a problem saying that they're going to come down with it, you know. But no fans, yeah, it's a little weird. But I don't see the Hawks laying down and, you know, just giving up here.
And it's certainly something I'm missing from this series, the atmosphere that you see at the United Center and also out in Vegas for those games. We're really missing that this series. Jeff, last thing I have for you. I mean, we're only talking about a handful of games this round once the real playoffs got going here. But are there any teams you're taking a step back and you're thinking, you know, I didn't really consider them as a team that is viable to make a deep run here, but I like what I see so far.
Absolutely. I think, you know, the Philadelphia Flyers, a lot of people slept on them. And, you know, Montreal is a very good team possession-wise, so they're going to be tough to get by. But Philly's got a lot of firepower too, and they're just as good as, you know, possession-wise with Sean Couturier. He's probably one of the best defensive centers in the league. So I think Philly can make a good run here, and if they get, you know, their cards right, and if Boston can get beat down and Washington can get beat down, then you got some newer teams to the mix. So I think they could make a run.
I hope you're right about the Flyers. I've got a bunch of series parlays tied with them, so I need them to advance out of this round, Jeff.
Yeah, I think you got a good shot here.
All right. That's Jeff Votler. Check out his work, awesomeo.com. Does a great job with the NHL, at @Vots_DFS on Twitter. Enjoy all the games this weekend, Jeff, and thanks for coming on Early Odds.
Thanks for having me on, Joe. Have a good day.
Guys, as always, there's so much going on over at Hawthorne Racecourse. They're preparing for the launch of a points bet sportsbook and the Run for the Roses 3 weeks away. Jim Miller, our friend at Hawthorne, he's got the countdown down to September 5th on. What's going on, Jim?
Yeah, I'll tell you, Joe, it's crazy to think it's only 3 weeks away. And the weird thing about it, I mean, aside from Tis the Law, you don't know who's going to be in the Derby, which is a thing that's really kind of cool. It should be an exciting race. There's going to be a lot of value in that race, too.
Last week, we were talking about learning from Saratoga. Do we have anything to take away that we should think about?
Yeah, I think the one takeaway, I was worried that Tis the Law was going to have to work a little bit in that race, and the horse didn't have to work at all. So I think what you're going to find now is this is a horse that will go into the Derby as one of the heavy favorites, that heaviest that you're going to have seen in probably the last 20 years. And because of that is where you're going to find that value, because one misstep, one bump, one bad trip, and you could have massive upsets across the board. This is the best three-year-old in the country right now, but when you run into a field of 20, anything can happen. Post-draw is going to mean everything, too. You get stuck on the inside or outside, it could make for a very interesting race.
Early Odds faithful, Jim has some picks for you. He's got Saratoga and Woodbine on the mind. What do we have?
Yeah, we have three $500,000 races this weekend. So we'll start at Saratoga on Saturday, race 8. This spot's the $500,000 Saratoga Derby. I'm looking at the 6, Colonel Liam. 7-2 in the morning line, only 3 lifetime starts, but improving in every start. And I think this horse can pull off the upset in that race. Then go to race 9, the $500,000 Alabama for 3-year-old fillies. You're going to have a heavy favorite in Swiss Skydiver. Try to beat that one as well with the 2-horse. Spice is nice. This one has speed on the inside. And then go to Woodbine, race 10. $500,000 Woodbine Oaks. Look to the one horse, Curlin's Voyage. Bred to run all day long, has some good speed, should love the distance and love the synthetic surface. And we'll have some decent prices, hopefully, for all three of those races.
Perfect. Jim Miller over at Hawthorne Racecourse. We will talk to you next Saturday, Jim.
All right, you got it. Thanks, Joe.
Also appreciate Jeff Votler from awesomeo.com. And at the top of the show, Preston Johnson of ESPN. Don't bet on the NBA playoffs until you listen to that conversation via the Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski podcast or the Rewind feature on the radio.com app. Many Early Odds episodes this upcoming week on Tuesday and Friday at 6 o'clock. Then, of course, next Saturday, 8 to 9 a.m. Inside the Clubhouse is next on The Score. I'm Joe Ostrowski. Best of luck, everyone.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.